Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. One in four adults in the EU has a disability. That's according to the latest available statistics from Eurostat. That's more than 100 million people. And while the Paralympics no doubt drew attention to people with disabilities in a powerful way, the struggles of so many who are still falling behind continue every day out of the media limelight. Indeed, access to employment and healthcare is not equal, and neither is the risk of poverty and social exclusion. We're going to discuss all this with two MEPs, Katrin Langensiepen, a German Green, who's been one of Parliament's most vocal advocates on this issue since 2019. Welcome to you.
Hello.
Welcome also to Italian MEP Brando Benifei from the Socialists and Democrats, who was vice chair of the Disability Intergroup in the last legislature.
Hello.
Hello, hi. Brando. Hi. So, Katrin Langensiepen, you've said that this new European Commission, which has just been formed, that it's problematic on the question of equality and inclusion. In fact, you go so far as to say that Ursula von der Leyen has cut off equality. Why do you say that?
Because they made us invisible. Women, persons with disabilities, persons with the LGBTQ background, we have the Romani people, all these people, women with, are under the umbrella of equality. So that was the way how was it in the past. And it was normal to us that we can continue with our work with the Commission. And yesterday, now we realized we are not visible anymore. We are gone. We have no commissioner anymore. And that is not problematic. That is a disaster for many, many people in the European Union.
So are you suggesting that the person who's been nominated, who's been approved, I should say, by Ursula von der Leyen to be the commissioner for preparedness and crisis management and equality, who's the Belgian Hadja Labib, that equality, it's not explicit enough that she will also deal with disability issues?
Not only we are not even mentioned, women are not even mentioned in that. They made us invisible and they put us into the same box with crisis and catastrophe like that. How can you dare to combine that? We are not a catastrophe. Persons with disabilities are not a catastrophe or a crisis.
You're not
when
a crisis.
We come up.
Yeah.
We are not a crisis.
Brando, your thoughts on this?
Well, when I read the titles of these commissioners, I was a bit appalled by the confusion on some of these combinations, including this one that was mentioned now, where I see the risk of a downgrading of the importance of this commitment by the Commission, maybe to not alienate some extreme nationalists or right-wing representatives. I don't know. We will examine that and understand that better with the hearings. We will have hearings where we will for sure ask to rearrange a bit of all this, because how it is presented today, clearly it's not okay.
But at this stage, it's going to be difficult to ask for what, a new commissioner to be.
We can ask everything.
Yeah.
We have done. Yeah. I am a third-term MEP. This is my third time in examining the commissioners, and we have removed commissioners. We have changed the portfolio a lot of times. Mm. And to be honest, the hearings are a long way to go. They will be at the beginning of November. So we have a long time to prepare. And maybe it's also an issue for them, if I wear them, because for sure the Parliament is not okay with this confused meddling of different portfolios and with some commissioners that will divide some issues into seven different people. I mean, it's a bit unclear, to be fair.
Okay, let's get away from the Commission and onto the broader issues. So, Katrin Langensiepen, as I said, there's this figure that we have, one in four in the EU with a disability, but that actually doesn't tell the whole story, does it? Because there's people with visible disabilities, there's people with invisible ones, there's the whole question of people who've been coming in from Ukraine with injuries. I mean, how would you define this kind of figure?
We have a huge problem with statistics as MEPs when we write our reports, when we want to have the opportunity to make people visible, and we always fight for or call for, we need numbers. So that number is a number, roundabout. And it shows that persons with disabilities are not a little group. Mm. I hear very often like, oh, it's not a very famous topic, it's only a small group of people. 100 million people are not a small target group. We are a voice in the European Union, yeah, visible or non-visible disability.
And on how people view people with disabilities, what did you take away from your road trip of how many EU countries was it? Most of them?
I 10 maybe. Yeah. Last country was Ireland. I started after COVID in Budapest. We don't have the perfect member states where we can say, if you live there, everything is perfect. Different countries, Brando is from Italy in the north. I think it's quite famous for the education system for disabled children. We in Germany, we do have the personal assistance systems. You have countries, they don't even know what it is. And to make kind of a horizontal law for every countries, that is our aim. But we have the UNCRPD. Yeah. And that is
UN Convention.
UN Convention.
Yeah.
And they say everyone is equal, same rights, yeah, same opportunities, and nothing about us without us.
Is that your experience as well, that it's a very piecemeal country-by-country approach?
Yeah, we have too much difference today, and I think that the European Union really needs to get higher common standards on how we deal with autonomous living, integration for people in different contexts with different needs, looking at the school or the the employment sector, workplaces, or even the health sector. So we have a lot to do. And in fact, we have done some work on common mobility, so with a disability card. But we need to be sure also that the member states implement. We do not have a strong European competence on these topics, and so we often have to rely on the capability of the member states to apply what we decide here. But I think this is important that we strengthen our action at European level and also use well our European funds that can, yeah, support also projects for better independent living and more empowerment of people from different backgrounds, including people with disabilities.
There must be some unused funds as well post-COVID that could be helping with this sort of policy.
Yeah, post-COVID, we have the ESF fund, we have region funds, and here our voices are clear with the movement, no money anymore into institutions.
Exactly.
For example, we sponsor member states, ESF, Agri Fund. Yeah. We sponsor by EU funds the Eco Farm, very social, very green, but the farmer is hiring persons with disabilities from institutions. So I water down social standards. And that's not really famous. So we really have to look into our MFF. Where is the money going to? Transparency. And when we are against child labor, when we are against water down social and labor standards, we must shout out and make it crystal clear that we have to stop funding institutions, sheltered workshops in the European Union.
Institutions that are abusing labor, for example, of people with disabilities.
I'm working there for €1 per hour. I have no labor rights, but I'm working for big companies. And I live a bit isolated.
Yeah. Also, we need
somewhere
to clarify, because not everyone listening might know what we mean with the institutionalization. That means that we do not want European money to be put into institutes instead of dedicated care for disabled people. But this is something that is happening in many member states, that you have the so-called institutions where you put people and they are in fact not treated as human beings to be supported and empowered, but as a social problem to be managed.
So just to be crystal clear, we're talking about helping people who are not only in care institutions, but who are living on their own, for example, that are particularly invisible.
That's the way we have to go to.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We have to phase out the system.
I just want to get your thoughts, Catherine Langenzeepen, a bit on these disability cards, which your colleague mentioned. You've said that they're a good start. They're obviously not... they don't represent complete freedom of movement for people with disabilities. Maybe just explain that a little bit for us.
Yeah. It was a long, hard way to get that card adopted, to put it on the feet, let's say, and by the power of the movement on the street for many, many years. What can I do? Now the member states have 3 years' time. We wanted 18 months. So they have enough time to implement that card. The card is voluntarily. It's for free. It's not my job as a person with disabilities to find out how I can get that card. It is by the distributors. They must be or must inform people and inform people what can I do with that card. For example, I am a German disabled person. I have a national card, call for the European card because I'm traveling through Italy. In Italy, I have to check, okay, what kind of, I don't like the word, but benefits I have. Can I use a national train? Can I take the local bus for what kind of, routes? And then I'm like the same disabled person in Italy. So your disability doesn't stop after the border or behind the border.
Yeah.
So
that
to
is
be sure start. That the rights and the opportunities travel with you.
Right, got it. That's all we have time for. Thank you so much for this very informative debate, Catherine Langenzeepen and Brando Benefei. That's all for this episode of Talking Europe. Glad you could join us.